Well, if you have your Bibles, and again, I hope you do, you can find toward the center of the Bible, Psalms 37. Psalms 37, and we're going to look at verses 1 through 4. Psalms 37, verses 1 through 4. And when you find Psalms 37, verses 1 through 4, well, I'm going to ask these that are here to stand. I'm going to ask you that wherever you're at, if you are able, to stand for the reading of God's holy, inspired, infallible Word. Psalms 37, verse 1. Do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on His faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart. Father, I ask you to bless the preaching of your word, and I ask it in Jesus' holy and precious, powerful name. Believe it and expect it. And all God's people, as they was being seated, said, amen and amen. We're living in a world of illusion. And when you look up the word illusion, it's a deceptive appearance or impression. And in Psalms 37, David was being deceived by the illusion of the wickedness going on around him. He was living illusioned by the evil workers. See, because we think that it's the Christians, we are told in the Word of God, it's the Christians that should be prospering, that should have the blessings and be more than conquerors and be victorious. And when we are Christians and we believe that, sometimes in the world it seems just the opposite. Am I the only one that seems to think that the wicked and the godless and the sinful are the ones that's doing good? That's exactly what was happening in Psalms 37 verses 1 through 4. Sometimes how we see it with our eyes physically, it looks like the godless and the wicked and the sinful are the ones that's doing good. That may be how we see it with our eyes, but I'm telling you the Word of God says that's not how it is. It tells us as Christians, we're the one that shall prosper. It tells us as Christians, we're the ones that have God's favor. It tells us as Christians, we are the ones that are more than conquerors. And it tells us we are the ones that have victory. It tells us greater is He that's in us, that's Jesus by way of Holy Spirit, than he that's in the world. And so sometimes we live in this world and illusion gets the best of us. What we see, and we're deceived by appearance or an impression. So tonight from Psalms chapter 37 verses 1 through 4, I wanted to preach a message I've entitled Instruction for Living in an Illusioned World. When it doesn't look like the Word of God tells us it is, it really is. And it's an illusion. We're deceived, or the impression doesn't look like it's so. And for the instructions of living in an illusion world, point number one, the psalmist says, refrain from fret. Look at verse one. He says, do not. Do not. That's pretty pointed. That's pretty plain. Do not fret because of evildoers. He says, nor be envious of the workers of iniquity. I want to remind you, the Bible in Matthew chapter 6, verse 25 says, do not worry. That's pretty pointed. I want to remind you, Paul wrote to the church at Philippi, be anxious for nothing. In other words, the Bible says to us as Christians, do not fret, do not worry, do not be anxious. In other words, don't sweat it. And it's a serious thing that we refrain from fret. Because when we as Christians refrain from fret, the Bible gives us some reasons to do it. Are you ready for them? Say I am. Type it in, whatever you want to do. Number one, fretting corrupts the spirit. Now, Proverbs 17:22, we hear the first part of it often around Exciting Southeast. Most of you don't know where I'm going when I said Proverbs 17:22, where it says a merry heart does good like medicine. We know that the joy and the happiness, listen, that's like taking medicine. But the rest of that verse says, but a broken spirit, that means fretting, that means worrying, that means a bad attitude, that dries the bone. So we need to understand that God came, sent His Son, came, died on the cross, that we may have life more abundantly. The devil's the one that comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And he can make it look like the wicked and the evil are winning. And sometimes when it looks like that, that corrupts our spirit and we're just kind of over here existing. But John chapter 10 verse 10 doesn't only tell us that the thief, the devil, come to steal, kill, and destroy, but it tells us, Jesus is talking, I have come that you may have life and you may have it more abundantly. Jesus doesn't want us running around and worrying and fretting. He wants us to live an abundant life even when the evildoers and the envious, and we don't want to be envious of workers of iniquity. He says, refrain from fret because that corrupts the spirit. Many of you have heard me tell that story about the single mom that saved for 2 years, sacrificing, working overtime, blood, sweat, and tears to save her money up so she could take her only son to Disney World. And working all the overtime she could, sacrifice, saving up for 2 years, they finally get to Disney World and got down there and he's fretting. He's got a bad attitude. And by about 2 or 3 hours, the sacrifices that she has made, the blood, sweat, and tears that she had sacrificed to get him there, she had had enough. And it's then that she just got down there. He wasn't having no fun. And that mom grabbed him by the cheek. She pulled him up there about like my mom did me. And she shook his face real good. She got right down his face and she told him all that she had done, all the overtime, all the sacrifice, the blood, sweat, and tears so that she could take him to Disney World, that he could have a fun and abundant time. And now he's down there sold up. And she shook his little face and said, from this point on, because of all I've done, you're going to have fun whether you like it or not. So put a smile on your face. Doesn't that make you wonder? When we think about the sacrifice that Jesus made, when we think about the blood, the sweat, and the tears that he shed on the old rugged cross, that he shed in Gethsemane when he was praying, do we ever think about him going to hell and back to pull the stinger out of death and win the victory over the grave? Why did he do it? That you and I may have life more abundantly. And when we do not refrain from fretting, it corrupts the spirit. And I would just think that one of these days, some of these days in our lives, he would like to take his nail-scarred hand and reach down to us as Christians who are sweating and fretting and anxious and worrying. And I believe he'd just like to shake us and say, hey, don't worry about them. Look at what I've done and put a smile on your face. I didn't die on the cross. I wasn't buried and I didn't go to hell and back. So you can sit here and fret and worry. So we refrain from fret because it corrupts the spirit. But we also need to refrain from fret because it's contagious to the saints. Now, it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 6, do you not know that a little leaven ruins the whole lump? Now, I'm sure there's some folks out there that's listening that they would say, now that's about like Preacher Rob. He don't even know what that's talking about. That's talking about sexual immorality and that's talking about sin. A little sin can leaven the whole lump. Well, I want to remind you when it says do not fret, I want to remind you when the Bible says do not worry, I want to remind you when the Bible says be anxious for nothing, when we are fretting, when we are worrying, and when we are anxious, we are sinning. And when we sin, a little leaven ruins the whole lump. I'm telling you, we need to refrain from fret because it's contagious. And I've often said, worry only affects the worrier. But my dear friends, listen to me. Worry will affect the worrier. Fret will fret the fretter worser. Figure out how I said that. But it still affects all those that are around us. And so we need to refrain from fret. And it's been well said, everybody brightens the room. Some leaving, some coming. And if you are a fretter, Listen, you're going to brighten the room when you leave. Because when you're fretting and you're worrying in a room, it'll be contagious to that room and those around you. So we're to refrain from fret because fretting corrupts the spirit. Fretting is contagious to the sinner. But I want you to know fretting, listen to this, confuses the sinner. I mean, as Christians, we're called to be the light of the world. We're called to be the salt of the earth. Hear me out tonight. As Christians, we are to be examples of how to handle life and everything it throws at us. As Christians, we are the ones that is to be an example what you do in the midst of a storm. And when we run around wringing our hands, taking worry pills, and listen, fretting and worrying, that confuses the sinner. They're not interested in what we got because we look just like they do when life throws a curveball our way. Listen, we're to refrain from fret because, my dear friends, it confuses the sinner. When they see us acting just like the rest of the world in a storm, then we're no different than they are. Man, I get to thinking about the Apostle Paul. He didn't fret and it did not matter where he was at. He was not fretting. He was not worrying. He was looking for opportunity to let his light shine among men, that they would see his good works, that he could share the gospel and watch them to come to him. Listen, he wasn't about confusing the sinner. He was about attracting the sinner with the word of God. I want you to think about that when I say fretting confuses the sinner. I want you to think about Psalms 40, beginning in verse 1. It says, I waited patiently on the Lord, and he inclined to me and heard my cry. Listen to this. He also brought me up out of a horrible pit. That means he saved me. That means he was saved from his sin. And out of the miry clay and set my feet upon a rock and established my steps. Now listen to verse 3. He has put a new song in my mouth. Praise to our God. Now watch this. Many will see it. Now I thought a song is something you heard. But he gets a new song. He's praising God, and the psalmist says, many will see it, and watch this, and fear, and I love this, Miss Debbie, and trust in the Lord. When we refrain from fret, and we are an example of how to handle life and all it throws at us, and they see the new song that God's put down in our heart, listen, many will see our bright countenance, many will see, and they will fear and trust the Lord. So number one, it may not always look so, but I'm telling you it is so because God's word said we are the ones that prosper. We are the ones that are blessed. We are the ones that have favor. And so even when it don't look that way, we are to refrain from fret. But then secondly, on the instructions of how to live in an illusion world, the psalmist not only says refrain from fret, the psalmist says remember his fury. Look at verse 2. For they, that's talking about the wicked, that's talking about the evildoer, for they shall soon be cut down like grass and wither as a green herb. Folks, in the day and time of David, and he wrote Psalms 37, it looked like the evil and the wicked was winning. A lot like it looks in our day. We look at all these godless people, and they're writing these godless laws, and it just seems like a way more of the majority of the people are following them. And man, we're shaking our head because we got the truth. We got a God that loves us. We got a God that sent his son to die for us. We've got an instruction book that tells us how to live, and it seems like people are just keeping on veering away from the principles and precepts of this blessed book we call the Bible. And man, it looks like they're the ones prospering. It looks like they're the ones that's getting the blessing. But that's not so, because Jesus said they will soon be cut down like grass and wither as a green herb. Now I want to remind you that when the Hebrew writer wrote, the people was being driven away from the temple. You think that wasn't confusing to them? Give your life to the one that loved you. He will prosper you. He will bless you. You can be more than a conqueror in Christ. You can have victory in Jesus. That's what the Word of God told them. And they would trust Jesus with their life. And a lot of times in that day, that would mean they would be disowned by their family. And they was actually being driven out from the temple. They was being betrayed and they was being persecuted. Now, how hard would that have been? That's living in an illusion world. But the Hebrew writer reminded them, for we know him, that's Jesus, who said, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. And again, the Lord said, I will judge my people. Now we need to understand, there's people we'd like to have a laying on the hand service, and we'd like to lay our hands around their throat, and we'd like to choke them till they turn blue and their eyeballs pop out and their tongue gets dry. But my dear friends, we cannot do that. We got to remember that vengeance is the Lord. Refrain from fret, and remember, if they don't repent and they don't turn to Jesus, listen, my dear friends, he's coming and vengeance is his. And I want to tell you, Moses understood this. He said in Hebrews, it says of him in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 24, he refused to be called a son of Pharaoh's daughter. You know the story. They found him in the Nile River. He could have had the pleasure of life in a castle. He could have lived as a king's grandkid. But he refused to do that. Why did he refuse to do that? He chose rather to suffer affliction in this world rather than to, with the people of God, rather to enjoy, listen to this, the passing pleasure of sin. If you're listening out there and you're not a Christian, the sin that you're living in right now, it's a pleasure now, but Jesus is coming and he's coming in fury and it won't be a pleasure then. Moses is telling you and I as Christians in the hall of faith, it's way better to suffer a little affliction down here and be blessed when we fall into eternity in a place called heaven. Look here. Now you think about that. Luke chapter 16. God gives us examples all through the scripture. You remember, how do you think it looked to Lazarus? He had trusted Jesus. And the Word of God told him he was one blessed man. The Word of God told him he had favor, that he would prosper. But when we read Luke 16, where was Lazarus at? He was laid at the gate of the rich man. He was full of sores. And the dog came and licked his sores. And he desired to be fed from the rich man's table. Don't you imagine that was an illusion to Lazarus? Man, where's my God? I'm living like this. And look at this godless rich man that is rich and he fared sumptuously every day. But listen what happened. They both died. One of them is now in eternity forever, Lazarus, in a place called heaven. And he is comforted in the bosom of Abraham. I mean, his life was so short when he suffered down here at the feet of the rich man's table. But now he's comforted forever. But think about that, that short life of that rich man, he's now went into eternity. But the Bible tells us he is being tormented in the flames. So we need to remember, when we live in this world, sometimes it looks like those rich that are faring sumptuously and clothed in fine linen every day of their life. We need to remember, if they've not trusted Jesus, they're wicked and they're evil. One day it will be judged by Jesus and they will be cast in eternal hell. The fury is the Lord's. Vengeance is his. So when we live in this illusion world, when it doesn't really look like the Word of God says it is, we refrain from fret. We remember his fury. But then thirdly, the psalmist said in these instructions for living in an illusion world, rely on his faithfulness. Look at verse 3. It says, trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land. Now listen to this. And feed on his, there it is, faithfulness. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 23. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Thessalonians 5, here's 24. He who calls you is faithful, who also will do it. When God called you and saved you, one of these days he's coming again. And sometimes we long for that coming and sometimes it seems he's never going to come. But the Bible said he is faithful and he is coming again. But until then, we need to rely on his faithfulness when it doesn't look like we're the ones that are proud, when it looks like the wicked and the evil are the ones that are winning. I read a statement on attitudes. It said people with the right attitudes tend to be spiritually grounded. Now think about this statement I read. People with the right attitude seem to be spiritually grounded. They know who's really in control. When you are spiritually grounded, we know God is faithful, and we know that He is in control. And I just want to point out, He's faithful to supply what we don't have. I want you to think that think about Him supplying a way to cross the Red Sea. I want you to think about Him supplying water from a rock, manna from heaven. I want you to think about Him multiplying those two fishes and five loaves. I want you to think about Paul saying, "My God shall supply all your needs in Christ Jesus according to His riches in glory." I want you to think about when the children of Israel got snake bit, He provided an antidote for it. I want you to think about Elijah. When he was in that famine, he flew ravens in with T-bone steaks to feed him. I want you to know that God is faithful to supply our needs. And I read this and I thought it was good. It said, wow, one man supplies every need of every man. One man, Jesus Christ, supplies every need of every man who's trusted in Him. He's faithful to supply what we don't have. But secondly, He's faithful to sustain what we do have. Now I said He fed Elijah. The ravens flew in with the meat. But look here, remember the brook dried up. Ravens could still bring the meat, but there wasn't nothing to drink. You ever eat a big old steak with nothing to drink? Be hard to wash down. But the Lord says, get up. Go to Zarephath. He said, there I've commanded a widow to provide for you. He gets there. The widow's out gathering sticks for a fire. Bring me a drink, he said. But he did say, please. Don't you like preachers that show up and watch the women working and says, hey, get me a drink. He says, please get me some water. Imagine this widow when Elijah shows up kind of scratches her head. Now, who's he think he is? Walking in here, I'm gathering sticks, and he says, hey, can you please go get me a drink? But it gets worse. As the one little boy said, bad got badder. She's going off, and he said, hey, while you're gone, go ahead and make me a morsel of bread. And that's when she had had enough with the preacher, and she turned around and said, let me tell you something. I'm out here gathering sticks. There's only enough flour in the bin, enough oil in a little bitty jar for us to eat one more cake, and then we're going to die. And this must have been encouraging to her. Elijah said, well, make me one first. And by the way, do what I said. The flour bin, it's not going to dry up, and neither is the jar of oil. And it says in verse 14, for thus says the Lord God of Israel, the bin of flour shall not be used up, nor shall the jar of oil run dry until the day that the Lord sends rain on the earth. Isn't it something? The Lord can sustain what we do have. Folks, it can run out on us, but if God's the one that's supplying it, it will never run out. I was just talking to a feller on the phone the other day, and he talked about going through a tough time, and I got tickled at him. He said, my wife just worries and frets. And we was going through some tough stuff, and we was getting hit from every side. But I said, there's no use to worry and fret. The Lord's going to take care of us. And said, all through the time we was going through that stuff, God just kept providing money. We'd just look in there, and it'd be there. He sustained what they did have, or He kept pouring it in their one. He is faithful to supply what we don't have and to sustain what we do have. And then He's faithful to satisfy make us be satisfied with what we don't have. Remember what Paul said in Philippians chapter 4, verse 11? He says, not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned to be in whatever state I'm to be content. You know what Paul could do? Whatever he had, he was content. It didn't matter if he was in prison or a palace. It didn't matter if it was steaks or bologna. It didn't matter if he was clothed or naked. It didn't matter if it was smooth sailing or rough sailing. Paul said, I have learned my God's in control. He's faithful, and I can be content. And I wish I could be there with Paul. And then what did he pass on to his son of the faith? In 1 Timothy 6:6, he said, now godliness with contentment is great gain. He said, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain that we can carry nothing out. You know what Paul had learned? He is faithful, and he can satisfy us with what we don't have. We can be content with what he's provided us. And so we need to understand we can rely on His faithfulness as we live in this illusion world. When things don't look like the Bible says they are, we can rely on God's faithfulness. So we refrain from fret. We remember His fury. We rely on His faithfulness. And then I'm through. The psalmist said in his instructions for living in an illusion world, rejoice in His fellowship. Look at verse 4. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart. Now notice it says, delight yourself in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart. How many times you heard this at Exciting Southeast and other places as well? When we look at 2 Chronicles 7:14, we see the when, if, and then. When God sends the pestilence, when God sends the famines, if. The if. When that happens, if. We who are called by His name, if we will humble ourselves, if we pray, if we seek His face, if we turn from His wicked ways, then we get the then. We do the if, then we get the then. Then God will hear from heaven. Then God will forgive our sins. Then God will heal our land. And so when we look at 2 Chronicles 7:14, we got to make sure we get our if so we can get our then. And this in Psalms 37:4 is a verse just like that. We can't get our desires in front of our delight, just like we can't get our then in front of our if in 2 Chronicles 7:14. In other words, you can't say, Lord, just give me my desire, and then I'll love you more, and I'll delight in you. Uh-uh. You delight in the Lord and His fellowship first. And as you're delighting in the Lord and fellowshipping with Him, He may change the desires of your heart. And then He gives you, or the desires of your heart, He may not change, but because you're delighting in Him, He will give you the desires of your heart. But the key here is we rejoice in His fellowship. We delight in the Lord, and then He gives us the desires of our heart. Amen. And so, we just need to have the right attitude, because we live in a world that's full of illusion. I think you're like me. I think when you look out into this world, it looks like evil. It looks like wicked. It looks like the godless are the ones winning. Folks, it may look like that, but that's not the way it is. Because I'm not looking to the world. I'm looking to the Word. And the Word tells me how it really is. Even when it don't look like it, I can believe it. Because the Word of God tells me exactly how it is. So, in a world full of illusion, Christians refrain from fret. Remember His fury. Rely on His faithfulness. Rejoice in His fellowship. And here's the other quote on the attitude, because it's all about the attitude. And I started to say this at the beginning. I was going to say this at the beginning. I forgot it. Tonight I'm preaching to myself. You guys are just listening in. Because in all of this, it seems like nothing's going right. This has been awkward. This has been tough. You heard the message I preached this morning. I am so concerned and so burdened what COVID-19 is going to do to the church that Jesus died for. Because you can write her down big, plain, and straight. She's not going to stay the same after this. I am so concerned, and it don't look like it's going to go the right way to me right now. So I've have to really, really refrain from fret. I'm having to really remember His fury. I'm really having to rely on His faithfulness. Not mine and not the church's. His faithfulness. And I'm really having to rejoice in His fellowship, because He's the one that can walk me through. And it's all about attitude. I read this: nothing can stop the man with the right attitude from achieving his goal. Nothing can stop the man with the right attitude from achieving his goal. But listen to this: nothing on earth can help the man with the wrong attitude to achieve his goal. That's a quote from Thomas Jefferson. So we're living in an illusion world. And let me tell you something. Sometimes it can cause us to get a bad attitude. When it does, could I encourage you? Open to Psalms 37, verses 1 through 4. And you'll figure out what the instructions tell us to do when it don't look like what the Word says it is. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? It's really been a message tonight to the Christians. that when we look out in the world and it just don't seem to be lining up with the Word, it seems to be deceptive. We get the wrong impression. And we just remember it's an optical illusion. It's not as the eye sees, but it's as the Word says. Hope we as Christians draw great encouragement from Psalms 37, 1 through 4. But not only can God change our attitudes when things don't look like the Word says they're going to look like, but I want to tell you that's lost and undone out there, He can also change your eternal destination. Tonight, if you're listening and you've never given your heart and your life to Jesus, not only can Jesus change the attitude of a Christian, He can change the destination of a sinner. He can forgive your sins. He can write your name down in the book of life. And the reason He can do that is because He's the Son of God. The reason He can do that is because He came and He paid the wages of sin when He died on the cross. And the reason He can forgive you and write your name down in the Lamb's book of life, on the third day He rose again. And He can write your name down, He can forgive your sins, because He's alive. If you're out there and you've never trusted Him, doesn't matter whether you're a member of a church, doesn't matter if you've been baptized, if you've never trusted Jesus, something better than Him changing your attitude is Him changing your eternal destination from one of a place called hell to one of a place called heaven. How He does that is you call upon the name of the Lord, according to Romans 10:13, and you shall be saved. I would love to lead you in that prayer and help you call out to the Lord, and I've reminded every service that's live streamed, the prayer that I'll lead you in, it won't save you, but the Jesus and the one whom you call out to will. So tonight, you want to change your eternal destination, you can just simply say to Jesus, Jesus, I know I've sinned. Jesus, I know I've done wrong. And Jesus, I do believe that You are the Son of God. I do believe that You died on the cross. I do believe that You was buried. And I do believe with all of my heart You rose from the dead. I believe that with my heart, and now I'm confessing it with my mouth. I want You to forgive me, save me, write my name in the Lamb's book of life. Thank You, Jesus, for forgiving and saving me. Amen. Now, if you was one that prayed that prayer, I'd love for you to contact us. Let us know you prayed that prayer. We'd like to help you grow in the grace and knowledge, help you to follow through in baptism. If you're not from around here, we'll help you get into a Bible-believing church where you can grow in the grace and knowledge. But we need you to let us know that you prayed that prayer. And then Christians, man, we're living in a day and time. We read the Word of God and we see how blessed and favored and how we're going to prosper and how we have the victory. And right now it really looks like evil and godless and wickedness is the ones winning. It may look that way, but it's not that way according to the Word. I'm glad I live by faith. Faith in this book. And I know it's the truth, the whole truth and nothing but the truth. Let the Bible, let the Holy Scriptures and the Holy Spirit change your attitude when we live in a world that has so much illusion in it. God bless. And before I leave, I just want to say to you, men's Bible study Tuesday, 6 o'clock, Telequal. I just want to remind you, Bible study for the women right here at 8:30 on Tuesday morning, Prior Campus. And then I just want to remind you again, remind you to the front of the service, Sunday morning at 10 o'clock, Telequal Campus, outside. You can come, stay in your cars. You can come, bring your lawn chairs, bring your picnic lunch, and we can have some fun, some fellowship there after the service. Hope you'll come be a part of it. Good night. Hope you'll join in on Wednesday. Don't forget, if you're elderly,